From the Newstalk STL studios in St. Louis, it's the Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, Byron Keelan of Freedom Principle Missouri on sticking up for homeschool families, Kerry Bartholomew on how the left continues to destroy education, and the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
It's going to be a big, big weekend. It's already started, Joey. I guess you didn't hear, but my wife, she's out of town. She's having a girls' weekend with her friends down in Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bachelor boys, you and me, what are we doing?
I tell you know what they say, when the cat's away, the mice will play. You know what I'm going to do? You know what? Here's my thing, because I live large. I'm a crazy guy, all right? I'm not going to make the bed. I'm not going to make the bed at all. Mm-hmm. And we have, get this, we have this shower, okay, that's got like a glass door on it, all right? And she, every time I take a shower, I don't do this to her. She does this to me. She says, make sure you use the squeegee.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. Use the squeegee on the glass. And guess what I'm going to do? Or guess what I'm not going to do? The entire weekend, I am not going to squeegee the glass, because that's what I do. I'm a wild man, Joey. I'm wild. I'm crazy.
It's dangerous to be crouching like that in your own shower. You could step on your little
thing,
lowdowns,
right?
And then when you stand back up, rip them right off.
And that would
more kids.
Well, fortunately, I don't use them. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not even going to think about it, because I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to clean any dishes. I'm not going to make the bed. I'm not going to squeegee. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to live like a slob. Like, you know, I used to when I was six.
Like a homeless person that goes out and uses a squeegee on car windows at the red lights.
And that's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. That's what but I'm not. But yeah, she's leaving town. She's gone. She's already down in Florida with the girls, doing whatever girls do down in Florida. Maybe it's like one of those spring breaker thing. You know, I hope I see pictures. Maybe like, you know, they'll all get in, you know, string. No, I hope they don't do that, because some of these people, I'm not going to go down this road. But anyway, I'm going to be a wild man all weekend. What do you have planned?
Well, I'm going to be with my girl, but I'm going to blow her off if I have to.
Oh, come on.
If she's
over.
Not invited to boys' night, then screw her.
We will party like, well, I got to be in bed by 9 o'clock, though, because I'm staying up. I'm staying up past 8:30, mm-hmm. and I'm going to, you know, push it to 9 o'clock. I'm going to get in that unmade bed, kind of roll around in it and say, well, you know, if I get dirty, I'll get up and take a shower and not squeegee. But that's my whole plan.
Did you actually have bedtimes when you were growing up? Because I remember specifically, I had a bedtime of about 8 p.m.
Right.
when I was little, maybe like 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And then Monday Night Raw wrestling, WWF, mm-hmm. they expanded to like 2 hours.
Right.
So then wrestling went on till 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or something like that. And my bedtime got extended another hour just for wrestling.
Oh, wow. You and, were lucky.
Mm-hmm, I got to see those sweaty men grabbing their butts and stuff like that. And it was what probably ruined me to this day.
My parents, they would say, and I just went on until I was about like 24. They said, you have to be in bed by 8 o'clock. And I thought, 8 o'clock? I just ate dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
birds are still chirping.
Well, they were like younger back then, like most people, like in earlier years, you're younger. And then they would blast this music. They were like big into like John Denver Neil Diamond was the other one.
Barry Manilow.
They would
blast
this stuff, and I don't know. And I'm trying. So you got to go to bed so we can keep you up with this John Denver music. So I never
sounds like key party music. Like we need the kid to go to bed so it doesn't make the neighbors feel guilty when we drop the keys in the bowl.
I think that's what it was.
Swingers is what I'm implying.
Well, maybe they were. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm next time I get together with him, I'm going to say, "Hey, was the reason that we got put to bed so early is so you could swing with the neighbors?"
That's a good thing of dementia. You always get new stories whenever you see the parents.
Yeah,
you thought you knew your childhood, and then it gets wild, and then you find out, "Oh, we regret ever having you." Like, oh,
yeah, well, they said that. Yeah, I mean, I think it was about they first told me that when I was in first grade. Mm-hmm. You know, we really regret having you, and I thought they were kidding. And then, you know, my mom said, "No, your dad's serious." So anyway, it kind of had an effect on me. Hey, did you watch the eclipse because I started early. I had a busy day. And so I started, in fact, I was on with Vic and Ken. It was like, I think it was that day before.
They still have you on?
Well, they have to because the two of their guests, they didn't show.
They're like, we love cartoons so much. Let's bring on the cartoonist on this non-visual medium on a regular basis.
Well, that's just it. I tell people that, too. I'm a cartoonist on the radio. It's kind of like being a mime on the radio. It's just like, I don't, and then you have to explain it, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, and I just walk away. But no, I started early, you know, mm-hmm. so I figured, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go out and, you know, look at the eclipse.
You don't want to lose track of it.
No, you don't. And that's just it because people made such a big deal about this. We had the guy, you know, from the Science Center on, and so that kind of piqued my interest.
Very straight shooter. We didn't joke around with him at all. Hopefully he didn't listen to the rest of the show to find out what he was bookended by, but his segment was very educational.
It was educational. Well, my dad knows the guy. You know, because my dad volunteers at the Science Center.
They call that a docent, maybe? I forget. There's a fancy word for someone who just volunteers and says, hey, you want to rub this pelt?
Right.
You're like,
a pelt.
That's when you're at the zoo. They just have skins of animals. Like, you want to rub this pelt?
I think that's why they fired my dad from the Science Center, because he was offering, would you like to rub my pelt? And they said, "That's get this old man out of here." Huh? We'll have to call him. Maybe he'll answer the phone, but he probably won't.
A well-connected guy is what you're saying. I get it.
Yeah.
Good dad.
Yeah, it was a good segment, though, wasn't it? But it did pique my interest. But I went out, and I started looking at the sun at about 10 a.m., mm-hmm. and I didn't think it was time to put those glasses on, and so I just stared at the sun until it really hurt. And then I was telling Vic and Ken about it, and then they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, the other guest, he showed up. You can go now and click." Mm-hmm. And that was it. And yeah, but no, did you think it was all it was hyped up to be?
We didn't get total blackout here in St. Louis, so to deal with the pain of not getting that, we just drank ourselves silly and then fell asleep. Missed all our shows the rest of the day, so somebody blacked out.
Oh, wow.
You had to drive 2 hours south, actually, to get into totality. And my girlfriend's parents, they're so romantic. They decided the night before, that Sunday before.
Right.
They said, you know what? We're going to get up early. We're going to drive down to St. Genevieve or something, Poplar Bluff. We're going to get on the highway 8 a.m. and we're going to make it down there. And me and the wife are going to have a great time. And I said, you're going to regret that and you're stupid. And the next morning, they wake up and they look at the traffic and they say, never mind, we're not going.
Well, my neighbor looked at it. He said, I watched it on television. I go, well, I guess it was on television.
That's just like baseball. When you're actually there, gives a snot? But if you're on TV.
But you know what else? My son, okay, Blake, I brought him up a little earlier. He has this problem with getting tickets. But here's the thing. He always gets the tickets from the same exact area. It's Perryville, Missouri, or, you know, St. Genevieve, as you mentioned.
And he's a SEMO kid, and he's driving up and down, back and forth to home?
Very quickly, apparently. Mm-hmm. But we get he'll get a ticket, and within, 30, 40 seconds, we'll get a letter, okay, because his home address is our home. We'll get a letter from the same attorney down there, you know, for these speeding tickets. And something is telling me, I think these attorneys are kind of, you know, in bed with like the courts or the cops, or it's a big industry down there. Because I'm not going to bring up the guy's name in case, you know, if he wants to sponsor the show, I will. But this guy, he's on speed dial with me. But I think, does that seem it almost sounds like a racket.
I used to work at a Blockbuster Video in a town called Rock Hill. And what Rock Hill did in this one little mile stretch is they made the speed limit about 30 miles an hour. And it was right at a big, giant hill.
Right.
So if you were just even coasting down this hill, you are bound to get into the 40s.
Oh.
And they kept this motorcycle cop hidden behind the Trainwreck Saloon at all times so he could just zoom in and get you for speeding. And of course, I wanted to get my ticket fixed after I got my ticket. And the lawyer said, oh, yeah, that guy's got the world record for giving out the most tickets.
Well, isn't
that? And I said,
what
the heck? What do we do about this motorcycle cop?
It's a travesty. Now, do you think when, you know, police officers go to, you know, the academy, you know, and they say, I'm going to, you know, become a police officer. Do you think that's part of their goal to, like, hide behind signs and give innocent people like you and I, well, I'm not really innocent, like, tickets? I mean, that's just if I were going to go to the police academy, I'd think of, I'm going to go catch the bad guy and you
barrel roll with a gun and a
really
field.
Like stuff like right exactly crawl Miami under barbed Vice wire. That you don't remember and stuff like or never saw and you know that would be exciting. We're gonna have a gun chase and stuff, but no, you're hiding behind a bush getting ready to like ticket somebody like you and I or Blake down there. I mean, that just doesn't seem like it. Seemed like it would be a letdown.
I don't know if you heard about this.
What?
The St. Louis Cardinals opening day was last week.
Right.
These entrepreneurs bought a couple vests and just stood in front of a field by Busch Stadium and started waving cars in.
No,
charging
like
them. Traffic vests. They just wore some shiny vests, probably had a clipboard,
right,
and then started waving people into a field, charging them $40 each, and then ran off with $4,000.
That is
and
genius.
Then parking enforcement came in, gave all those hundreds of cars $30 tickets.
Wow. That is one. Okay, now a lot of times I think, you know, the city of St. Louis is going down the tubes, but that is probably one of the most brilliant things I've heard in a long time. So these guys just got vests somewhere, probably at the dollar store,
mm-hmm,
and they looked like they were parking attendants, and they took people's money, and they weren't even parking attendants. Is that weird? They should be. Now, those are the type of people that should be running the city because, you know, I tell you what, they're already probably fleecing people, but that's right out there in the open. They're making it obvious.
What if the city actually gave these guys the vests? Told them to go down there and do it.
That's
so
what's
they
happening.
Had a little sting operation so they could give tickets to all these cars.
And then they could, you know what they could do? And out of that 700 billion, million, trillion Rams money, you know, they could pay these people maybe like a 20 or 50, whatever it was, and then they could pocket the rest. You were talking about the Cardinals, and you went to the Cardinals luncheon, which was for the media and stuff. And you went with Stell, and Stell's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think it's wonderful that you went because I specifically asked if I could go to this, and I was told no.
It was a radio broadcaster's luncheon.
Right.
Every radio station in the area and their biggest names were there.
Sure.
And maybe I got to hobnob and rub elbows with huge name people, especially Stell. I hugged him in front of everyone.
Well,
so everyone
he's a
knew
huggable
that,
guy.
Everyone knew that we were together.
Sure.
So what happened was I asked Big Boss Joe.
Right.
If we could go together as a date, you and me.
Right.
And he said, no, Todd's not part of the station. He doesn't count.
Well,
and he'll embarrass us if I do let him go.
Well, see, and there you have it. There you have it. First of all, I am part of the station because I'm sitting here talking to you.
Okay, your artwork's on the flipping wall.
On the wall, Joe. Mm-hmm. I'm flummoxed amongst it.
I think he just didn't want to send another email to our PR person because he would have had to contact them and like, can you let Todd in?
Oh.
You should have just pretended to be anyone else.
I should have worn one of those vests and said, I'm the parking guy and I'm just in somebody here. I need to validate your ticket. And then I could have just walked in.
Big Boss Joe, actually, when he was asked by the PR person, I saw the sneaky email. He accidentally had me on this thread. The lady said, who do you want to go to the radio luncheon? And he said, same as last year. And when I saw that, I said, what about me? And he said, oh, yeah, Joey, too. So what happened was when I walked in, there were name tags all over this table. Chris Arps' name was there. Tim Jones' name was there. Gabe Pfeiffer. None of those people actually went there. There were just leftover
this
name tags.
This is like a stab in the spleen, mm-hmm, that I took out on YouTube from YouTube. I can't believe. Well, I think he's, you know, I think Joe's angry with me because I am flummoxed amongst him. First, he doesn't allow me to go to the luncheon at the Cardinal with the Cardinals that I specifically asked if I could go. And I would have been on my good behavior, by the way, at least for a few minutes. And so he shoots me down on that. And then right before we start our show today, my son calls Blake, who's been mentioned now several times. Hello, TJ. I love you too. Blake calls. He knows I'm doing the show. Why would he call me now? So I get on I tell Blake, look, I can't talk right now. We're getting ready to tape the show. And you know what, Joe, my nemesis, who now apparently hates me, he sticks his head in the door and goes, hey, you Neanderthal, it's called record the show, not tape.
This guy right here.
I don't
here.
Think he likes me.
I don't think you could have embarrassed us at all because some
no.
of the questions that were asked of the owner of the Cardinals, Bill DeWitt III.
Which is a great name.
Here's
I'm
a
the
couple
DeWitt.
Questions that were asked by the radio media.
Okay.
People that are just like you and me, but
right.
maybe a little bit
well,
more
Well, apparently
daft.
Not me because I'm not part of the station, even though I'm sitting here with you.
One of the questions, let me paraphrase. What's up with seeing them dongs with the new uniforms? Them uniforms are all see-through, and I can see them dongs.
What?
Well, I don't know if you heard Fanatics, a company that's real big in the apparel space, they're making the uniforms for all of Major League Baseball. And apparently, they made the pants too thin. They wanted to make them stretchable, breathable, but they became so thin, you could see the outline of the junks.
Oh, really?
But Bill DeWitt said, nope, I put my foot down. So the Cardinals are fine. It's the rest of the dongs in the MLB that'll have to deal with that. But
are
I
they
said,
called the dongs?
Yeah, I mean, scientifically.
Wow, so you can see, so you go to the ball game now and you can see everybody's dong.
It's not the Cardinals, though, because Bill DeWitt stuck up for it. He said, well, no dongs on my field.
No dongs on my field. That's a great slogan.
That a country song, I think.
I think that is, yeah. Well, I would have learned about that if I'd gotten to go.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have for lunch?
Everything. They brought the food from every place that you could even have at Busch Stadium. And then they gave me tickets for the night game. And I took my girl back to that amazing all-inclusive club. It's the 703 Club, named after Albert Pujols' home runs. Took my girl there, and we ate all the food there as well. Man, I am so full. I may have to go use the bathroom before we call our next guest.
I didn't do anything. I didn't absolutely nothing because I had my heart set on going until I was told that I couldn't. But apparently I'm a Neanderthal. Well, I'm not in a very good mood to do the rest of the show today, but I guess we're going to have to. And we even have Admiral Andy who's going to grace us with his voice later on from the Love Tunnel. At least he said he was. So, you know, aside from me being just, you know, horribly depressed, I think we're going to have fun.
Admiral Andy just talked to your friend, Todd America, so maybe he can tell some stories about how terrible or horrible that was. It could have gone either way.
And I got to say, I am so tired of being mistaken for this guy because, okay, he is a patriotic guy. He has a mullet. I have a mullet. Okay, but I'm not.
That's where the similarities end.
I know. And I'm pleased. Maybe he'll clarify that. I don't know. But I'm tired of being compared to this guy because, you know, it's like trying to, like, live up to the hype that I'm not. But that's why, obviously, I wasn't invited to the Cardinals luncheon, but I'm going to let that go. In the meantime, we're going to have a fun time. I'm Todd Showalter along with my good buddy, Joey V. Mitch, who's been incredibly quiet today. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Byron Keelan of Freedom Principle, Missouri, sticks up for homeschool families. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who loves lunch so much he eats it morning, noon, and night, Todd Showalter.
Yummy!
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter along with my buddy Joey V. You're listening to The Right Mind Show. And on the line now is Byron Keelan, who I had from the Freedom Principle, who I had the pleasure of seeing last Saturday at the caucus. And he's got a lot of good stuff to share with us and talk about. Byron, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. Yeah, it was interesting looking at the caucus, the total grassroots people taking on the, sort of the established Republicans kind of, it was, you know, looking at the audience there, we had at least 10 or 15 of our members were delegates in those Warren, Franklin County area, St. Charles County areas. And then, and then about another good percentage of those people were supporters of our group. So we felt pretty comfortable at the caucuses. We did have a member of ours get elected as a state and national delegate. And then another member of our group actually got picked as one of the presidential electors. So we're going to actually have a say on the state, national, and in November as to who, you know, is the president of the United States. And it's going to be, you know, President Trump. So we really had a good day at the caucus. And, you know, again, our amendments that we proposed on medical freedom, religious freedom, education reform, and constitutional sheriffs also went through not only at the second congressional district where we were, but also at other congressional district caucuses around the state. So it was a good day for us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully now everybody's unified enough to get the job done. One of the things you said, though, when you came up to me, it was great to see you again, because we've talked a lot, but it's the first time I got to actually physically meet you, so that was fun. But you said that there's some educational bills that were in the works right now that you wanted to talk about. Go into that a little bit, will you?
Yeah. We actually, you know, there's a bill being debated on this expansion of the ESA grant program. And which gives money to kids to go to private or, you know, private schools. And we came out against the bill yesterday because to us, there is a lot of just, it's 10% good. You know, we don't have a problem with the expansion of the ESA grant program. However, we believe that there's a lot of strings that are attached to that bill with regards to the parents. And so what we, you know, they want, the people that support this bill feel like it gives parents the educational freedom they need, you know, the school choice, to go to a school choice, you know, but the thing about it is that when you give people government money, it creates a dependency. And this is not a tax credit or a tax deduction. So this is basically taxpayer money going to these individuals. And to us, you know, what the big thing is that they've created this family, this FPE program. And what it is, it's called family-based education. And it's homeschooling that has, that allows you to take, to participate in the ESA grant program. But when you take that money, you now have to either take the MAP test, which is through DESE, or you have to take a third party private assessment test. Well, to us, it won't be long before DESE just says you can only take the MAP test. We've never seen government get cut back. Mm-hmm. It just continues to grow, and it's like Jabba the Hutt. And, you know, the parents are the little animals that he's grabbing off the ground and eating. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. So in the future, we're not saying it's going to happen right now. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that it's opening this door for DESE to stick its nose into the program and to homeschooling. And it could eventually bleed over into traditional homeschooling. But the other part of this is that there's like 19 other components of this bill. One of them is it raises minimum salaries for teachers, but the state doesn't provide any funding for that. So if you've got to raise the teacher salary from $25,000 to $40,000 per year and you don't provide a funding mechanism for that, how are schools going to pay for that? Well, it's going to be personal property tax increases. Or, you know, regular tax increases. And so, you know, that could put burdens on parents or, you know, put on taxpayers to fund these schools. And then it also creates things like a literacy program for elementary school students. Well, isn't that what schools are for in the first place?
Right.
So why do we need to create some third party fund to do this? I mean, we have public libraries, we have school libraries. So why do we need to create these programs? And then lastly, the one big thing on it too is that it has this Missouri Scholars Accounting Board that includes a member from the governor, a member from the Senate, a member from the House, the state treasurer, and it now includes, it also includes a person from DESE, and then it's going to include a representative from these ESO organizations, which is these groups, these third party groups that go out and collect money for people to participate in the program. And to us, if for one is that this board has never met now.
They've never
why
met?
Haven't. No, they've never met. They created in state statute this board that doesn't even meet. But the thing about it is that if this program is handed, controlled by the state treasurer, why do we need to have DESE involved in this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So this is our thing, is that it's just, it gives DESE this ability to promulgate rules. And that means that it gives DESE the chance to grow its tentacles into this program and thus eventually take over. You know, if we get a Democrat state treasurer, if we get a Democrat governor, or God forbid we get a Democrat legislature, you know, that just opens the door and it'll become the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just think that there's a better way to do this. And so as of right now, you know, we've tried to talk with legislators about making changes to this bill. They've ignored us. And so we just, you know, all we want to do is cut out a lot of the government waste and, you know, try to protect homeschoolers. Just all we're asking for is, we're not saying that homeschoolers can't enroll in the program, but what we want is some further walls built up between traditional and this family-based education thing. So, you know, we were amenable to opening the dialogue, but they aren't interested in it. The legislators aren't, because they just want to push this through and check a box. But we think it's going to have bad ramifications. And I know that there's, you know, some people in your audience that are supportive of this program. But we've talked with Senator Koenig, we've talked to other representatives and senators, and they have the same concerns. Now, Senator Koenig supports the bill, and we talked to him about it because it's his bill, but to try to get a better understanding. But we just feel like there's too many other things in this bill that make it hard to support.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but that's pretty typical too. And so, I mean, so basically what you're saying, you'd like to streamline things, and, you know, it sounds like, you know, as you mentioned, tentacles. I mean, people are trying to get involved in things just for the sake of getting involved, which usually has money involved, and that's what you're trying to get around, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, well, we don't want desks. We want to reduce the influence of DESE. You know, everybody wants to get rid of the Department of Education, but they don't want to get rid of the Department of DESE. It seems as if the legislators are comfortable with, well, letting, you know, we need to have government accountability for education. Well, which is why it's that control of education that gives DESE the ability to push in social emotional learning,
right,
to push in critical race theory, to push in anti-religious curriculums, pro-transgender curriculums and things, because we let them make the rules. And then we sit there and rail on them that we need to rein in DESE. And then yet when we put out these kinds of bills, we give DESE this power. And so it's, to me, it's just a slap in the face. You know, we'll you give us this 10% and we'll give you this 90%
right
of stuff. And the 90% is just, it's putting knees on the backs and necks of schools, on parents that don't want to take a part in the ESA programs. And to me, it's, you know, we call it the clean out the fridge bill. Throw everything you can into it so we can get it passed, and then we'll say it's a victory for school choice.
Right, right. Well, as always, it's a lot to digest. I mean, it's never going to be easy. If it was, everybody would do it right. But or something like that. But, well, thanks for joining us, Byron. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I look forward to the next time, because I'm sure there's going to be more to talk about. None of this stuff is going to go away easy, is it?
Well, the next thing that's coming up really is ranked choice voting. There was a bill to ban the amendment by Senator Ben Brown on banning ranked choice voting. So there's that coming up. And then we also have the initiative petition reform that's going to be voted on by the House soon. So we can always, you know, talk about that in the next couple of weeks if you want.
That sounds great. We look forward to it. Well, thank you for joining us. And again, it was great seeing you on Saturday. And hopefully we can all unify and get the job done. So until next time.
I believe we can. So I appreciate it, and look forward to talking with you guys again.
All right, my friend. I appreciate it, too. We'll talk to you soon. Well, that
all
is
right. Thanks.
Byron Keelan joining us. And yeah, like I said, we got to meet at the caucus or whatever it's called. Again, it really wasn't a caucus type of thing, because I've had people come up to me and say, wait a minute, we were we were voted. How come we didn't know about this? It was more of like a soiree. No, it wasn't a soiree. It was more like a gathering. It was basically, we were trying to get the delegates in place that can actually, you know, be representative when it comes to convention time. So can you think of a better word than a caucus?
No, I didn't even wouldn't say that without bleeping you, actually.
Bleep, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Byron Keelan, he talked a lot about homeschooling, and I've never been homeschooled or known any homeschoolers. I assume their field trips, they go to the grocery store with mom, and that's it.
Right. What about the sports teams?
I know. Did you ever have any good field trips when you were in school? I remember specifically going to the Daniel Boone House in Defiance, Missouri.
Right.
And they'd show us old-timey stuff, like how to churn butter, and then they would let you you practice. And so they invite you up and say, here, grab this little stick and just churn that. And then 2 hours later, they said, you're done. And then they they'd sell the butter at the grocery store. I think it was child slavery is what they were doing. Oh. They brought us to the Daniel Boone home just to make butter so they didn't have to.
Oh, so it was a big scam.
It's
so
a big
free
scam.
Child labor.
You want to learn how to chop wood? And then 2 hours later, they had to chop wood and the field trip was over.
It's like a Tom Sawyer thing. There used to be the
Paint the fence.
That's some old Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens stuff for you right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we did. I mean, my friends and my. I guess it was like the science. It wasn't like the science center like it is now. It was like almost like a natural history.
It used to be just dead stuffed animals back in the day. That's what the science center started as.
Yes, and we didn't steal them. Mm-hmm. But we just wanted to play with them, like these shrunken heads that they had. And so Rory Feldman. He was not the guy that was on the move in the movie, but this something like Rory. His name was Rory, but we were playing catch with apparently like a 2,000-year-old head that was frowned upon. I was told I could not go on any more field trips. My mom and dad found out about it. They put me to bed and they put on John Denver songs.
And that's how you got cursed by that guy with the bone through his nose.
No, the bone through, that's more about my vasectomy on YouTube. Oh, that one, the bone through his nose.
It seemed like some voodoo was done to you? You were voodooed by someone.
I was voodooed by someone. Yeah, well, that explains a lot. Well, we'll explain a lot of things when we come back, because we're going to talk to Carrie Bartholomew, who's, again, going to kind of follow up on this and just say how, you know, our education's pretty much gone to hell in a handbasket. But this is on the, on the college level. We'll find out about it when we come back. But in the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V, Mitch being really strangely quiet today. This is The Right Mind Show. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Carrie Bartholomew on the hypocrisy of colleges not allowing differing opinions on their campuses. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on Newstalk STL. And now a man who once rescheduled his bikini wax so he could see the St. Louis Cardinals at Busch Stadium, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey V. And on the line right now is one of our frequent guests, a wonderful person, Carrie Bartholomew, calling from Utah, where all kinds of crazy stuff is going down on some college campuses and beyond. Why don't you explain it for us? How's it going, Carrie?
I'm great. Thank you.
I may have just
drank some coffee.
Oh, that's okay. I always get ready to put the other person on the spot as soon as they take a drink of something. So, hey, you passed the test. You sent me a video last night about, and when I looked at it, I didn't know what was going on, but it was basically all hell had broken loose on a college campus. I mean, explain what I got to witness last night.
Sure. So Monday, Michael Knowles, who some people would consider controversial, he came to present his quote unquote controversial topic that no child is born in the wrong body. Mm-hmm. And our Utah kids, at Utah State University, came out and protested, stood outside the windows, carried signs. It's interesting to me to watch college kids who consider that to be empowering, mm-hmm. that we send to college to become, to advance, to become responsible citizens and contributing members of society, and, kind of horrifying others. When these people were putting up their signs in the beginning, they were followed to their cars. People banged on their cars, told them, God hates you. God doesn't love people like you. And I just think that our kids need to be taught. The main thing that they should be being taught is to respect other people's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. You don't have to agree.
Right.
I don't find that statement very controversial, but you don't have to agree, and also you don't have all the information, so listen and then go and write your blogs after you've listened to the statement, right or left or in the middle, wherever you are. Well, yeah. Our kids should be being taught to discern.
And when you go to a college, I mean, I remember, when I was in college, way back in the 80s, liberal arts and science, it has the word liberal in it. And so that's kind of weird. Right. But I mean, you're thinking, okay, this is your time to explore things, learn things, hear other ideas that maybe you didn't grow up with traditionally. And then at the end of the day, you can decide for yourself as an educated student or adult at that point, how you're going to live your life. There is no doesn't exist now. Now it's like a formal, it's an indoctrination that's going on.
So the kids are being taught from elementary on to only do reports on approved sources. whether that be digital media literacy, your language arts requirements, anything is only from approved sources. And so some of the approved sources I have in this curriculum book are Ibram X. Kendi and Robin DiAngelo, the Trevor Project, different, and it's only their voices that the kids are supposed to hear. Anything else is dismissed. Mm-hmm. It's considered irrelevant. It's Herbert Marcuse's repressive tolerance. We do not listen to anything that does not follow, that does not uplift what we already believe.
Yeah.
It's extremely disturbing for these young people, and we have to pull them out of it, and that's easier said than done.
And let me, as far as the pushback that you've gotten, I mean, I can speak for myself, but I'd like to hear what you get. are you on the receiving end of a lot of name calling? Because I got to tell you, I mean, I tell some of these people, you've got to come up with some new words because these are getting old. I mean, it seems right. to me I'm either, okay, I've gone from racist to fascist to white supremacist
right.
to, and I'm like, come on, give me a new name or something now. I mean, but that seems to, it baffles me how so many people are afraid to be called a name when you know in your heart, and you know, and other people know that this isn't describing, this is not you. But I know people personally. Well, if I do this, I'll be called this. Well, what is this?
Yes.
Eighth grade? What are we, like 8 years old in third grade on the recess?
Right.
What? So what? They call you a name. If that is all they have is name calling and canceling you and refusing to have a conversation with you, well, then you've won. You've already won.
Yes.
Why do we even consider any of these people it's like dealing with a 2 year old.
Exactly. So, and that's how I think of it, is that you step over the toddler and they're throwing a fit. You let them work it out for themselves. And then as soon as they're back to, behaving, you praise them, you get back. So you're not depriving them of love. You're just avoiding this behavior because you don't want to reward that behavior. And I've gotten to the point, I definitely have enemies. I definitely have people who call me, the black face of white supremacy and all these things, right? But here's the issue. I've come to a point where I pity them.
Sure.
Because they're so desperate to be relevant, and they don't understand that their ugliness pushes them away from people to the point that no one cares what they're saying.
Right.
Because they are, but the problem is that people in power are still afraid of them. Which is why I'm running for school board, because the people in power will come in and they will say, I've got, I've got these really good ideas. I'm going to do these good ideas. I'm going to protect our kids. And then somebody says, oh, that sounds a little bit phobic to me. That sounds a little bit racist to me.
Yeah.
And they take a proverbial Sharpie and they cross out the things that would protect our kids. You have to stop caring. This is their modus operandi.
Sure.
So you have to stop caring, and you have to say, this is my child versus my reputation by people who I don't know, who I've never met, and who I don't care about.
Yeah.
Like, who's more important?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As soon as you open the door and you let the evil in, it's not going away. And that even goes back to the COVID thing. It wasn't like, we'll lay off all these control things as soon as, things settle down.
Right.
No, that was never part of the situation. I mean, once you give somebody control, they're not giving it up. And
right.
they're in a situation now, unfortunately, they're conditioning our children. They're, again, it's the biggest form of child abuse I've ever seen. And again, if we make it that long, I still think years from now, if there's history books that exist, this will be known as the era of stupidity. And people look back, hopefully, and just say, I don't know how people survived if we did. But we have to. We need people like you and other people that are out there, you know, and sometimes you – it's amazing that we're saying this, because if you were to flip the script and you had some lunatic out there and we got to, you know, listen to the lunatic, we probably would, but we still treat him like a lunatic. Now we all have to agree with the lunatic. So I don't know. It never ends, my friend. It never ends. Well, how can people get in touch? Because you have a podcast and you're also doing a lot of different things on your own. So tell us about that and how people can check it out, because you're always fascinating.
Well, yeah. So my podcast is Carib Marcel on YouTube.
Okay.
The YouTube channel. I interview people. Most recently, I interviewed an ex-Fem Chiefa member. And yes, I am running for state school board. If anybody is just dying to help somebody in another state, then feel free to reach out. My my channel is carry4utkids.com. So that's carry, C-A-R-I, 4utkids.com.
Great. That is fantastic. And again, people should do that, because you're out there fighting. I say it over and over. You're fighting the good fight, but it's actually the desperate fight. It's a fight we have to win. And, you know, I'm glad that you're part of the same team with us. And like I say, if anything, there's anything besides spreading your word or do anything else, I mean, I'm here for you and I'm ready to fight with you.
Thank you so much. I very much appreciate it.
All right, my friend. We'll talk soon, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Carrie Bartholomew. I tell you what, she puts up, let me preface, because a lot of people, I don't know if people know from earlier shows, she's African-American, okay? And so she fights against CRT and all these other things. And I've had people say, well, she's a white supremacist. Well, no, she's not. She's African-American, and she happens to have, you know, an intelligent head on her shoulders, and she knows what she's talking about. And, it's just totally bizarre. You know, at least you and I, Joey, seriously, when you and I become the most sane people in the world, I think we're in trouble. But, hey, that's just me.
She said she's running for school board. Did you ever run for office when you were in school?
I did.
Class president, treasurer.
I get this. You want to hear a neat story? Mm-hmm. At least I think it is. I was actually elected the sixth grade student council president. And I want to tell you how I did it, all right? There was this girl. Her name was Kathy C. I'm not going to say her last name, even though I'm sure she doesn't listen to the show.
Kathy C. with a K.
No, it's actually a C.
Kathy C. with a C.
But the teachers loved her, and she was like Miss Goody Two Shoes. She was supposed to win and all that stuff. Well, my dad, he said, I'm big. Hey, I do magic tricks. He goes, so my dad said, you ought to do a magic trick for your speech. So I went up there with a newspaper, and inside it there was like a sign. I glued the paper together. And it basically, I said, oh, I looked in the newspaper today, and I reached and I poked a hole in the paper. I pulled out the sign that said, vote for Todd. It was like a magic trick. Everybody was so dumbfounded. They were like conditioned, like we were talking to make a long story. So I was elected student council president based on my magic trick. And it was like when Donald Trump, I wasn't supposed to win. The knucklehead prankster is now the student council president. I think that, and to this day, the school doesn't exist anymore. I think I'm the reason.
I knew, even when I was real young, third grade, all you had to do was just get into that vending machine and change up the snacks and you'd win. Like, if you could say, I promise there will be Oreos for everyone, then I guess you'd go to Sam's Club, buy them in bulk, swap out the cruddy food that's already in there. That's, kids just want snacks and magic tricks.
Exactly. Yeah, magic tricks. That's exactly right. And then I also said we're going to have strippers, too. But they said, no, that we're drawing the line. And then I was, you know, again, grounded, had to go to bed early and listen to John Denver at 8 o'clock. So
I remember being a little kid and hearing words I wasn't supposed to say.
Oh, yeah.
So I learned the word teddy, but I didn't really know what it was. And I wrote essays about people buying teddies because I thought it was some sort of clothing. I learned later on it's like a negligee, see-through. It was very sexual, and I shouldn't have been talking like that in third grade.
Well, we found the leather whip that I thought was for, like, you know, playing cowboys and Indians that you now can't say, so I'm going to say it again, cowboys and Indians. And, I heard about that. That whip is not for, like, playing cowboys and Indians. And, well, I won't get into it. I'm not going to tell what happened after that. But it involved a lot of listening to John Denver, Charlie Rich, and Neil Diamond after that.
Dressing up as Indiana Jones, and then you would be Sean Connery. The penitent man shall pass.
So you think you're a soccer player, Mr. Williams?
Mr. Jones.
On the line now. Oh, boy, I can't. We've missed this guy, but he's back. Admiral Andy, are you in the love tunnel today? How are you, my friend? We've missed you.
You know, I happen to have met a friend of yours last week.
Well, Joey was saying that. He said, I don't know if he's going to want to talk about it, but apparently your show that I still have to catch, you had on...
Nothing's Off the Table.
Nothing's Off the
Friday
Table.
Friday nights, live at 7 Central.
And it's a great show from what I understand. I mean, a very great show. But you had who is it you had on?
We had the one and the only, thank God, Todd America.
Todd America. Now, the thing is, he was on your show. I resemble him, or people get us confused, and I don't even know. It's kind of crazy. I get that and Al Roker. I get those two mixed up. I get mistaken for those people. So you had Todd America on. What was it? What happened? Was it any good? Or what was the hype?
It was very interesting.
Really? Do tell.
He was coming to us live from the Todd Tunnel.
The Todd Tunnel, like the love tunnel?
I don't know, man. The Todd Tunnel. Somebody's got tunnel on the brain, apparently.
Wow. Carpal tunnel. Oh, okay.
Yeah, tunnel.
I got you. So you talked to this Todd America guy. Now, what is he like a nut, or what is this? Because...
Yeah, he's a very unique individual.
How so?
Patriotic.
He's patriotic. Well, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Very, very intense.
Intense.
Very... In your face.
In your face. Well, okay. So was it a good show, though? What did you all talk about?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a great show. You know, asking me what we talked about, it's funny because I don't remember what I had for breakfast, let alone
last week. Okay. So it was really something that stuck.
He was in a fugue state. It was traumatic, but also erotic is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yes, in the love tunnel. Erotic in the love tunnel. I like it. Well, Joey said he watched part of it, and he said a lot of people from the station kind of chimed in. Well, I didn't realize I should have done it. I mean, I couldn't do it because it was my night at the Elks Lodge. I had to clean up the puke in the basement, and so I was doing that, but I missed it. But apparently a lot of people from the station enjoyed it.
It was pretty cool. We had, almost every show seemed like they were watching and chimed in. It was crazy. I don't know how they did it, Joey.
Well, is he coming back on by any chance, or what's the deal?
No, we'll have Todd America back on.
And he does look like me then, or is it just the hair?
No, you guys could be twins.
Wow.
A doppelganger. Okay.
Wow, that is strange. Okay, well, I'll tell you eventually. Hey, maybe we can have him on our show. I don't know. That's an idea.
Well, poor Joey won't get a word in.
I was watching.
Joey, you watched?
I got a text from Todd America. I don't know how he has my number. He told me to watch live and just leave some comments. And I noticed right off the bat that it seems like Todd America has a lot of traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
So I asked, like, has he ever been hit by a car? And it sounds like he gets hit by them constantly.
Wow.
I thought he could fly, but apparently he has no powers.
He doesn't fly?
No.
What does he do?
I think he just runs around with his shirt off harassing people.
Wow, that sounds like
it. Yeah, patriotically. I asked him that question, and I couldn't get an answer, let alone a straight answer out of him.
Wow.
Nothing straight about the tunnel.
I'm not sure what he does. right. Well,
I'm so sorry I missed that. I mean, I hope that, is there a replay? I mean, is there something like that where we can see it?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because, yes, you can go to the Nothing's Off the Table YouTube channel and you can catch all the replays there.
All right, Admiral, thanks for joining us.
All right, fellas. Catch you later.
All right, my friend.
Love you.
Love you, too. Okay.
Well,
we love everybody. Okay. Well, that's Admiral Andy. It's great to hear from him again.
Now, do people who listen to the show even know who Todd America is?
Are we expected
to just assume that they know that this guy is not related to you, but maybe goes around looking like you?
That's just it. I personally have never met him. But there's a guy, he goes by Todd America. Apparently he's very patriotic or something like that. He's got a mullet. I have a mullet.
Is this a pun? Does Todd America mean anything deeper than just two names put together? Todd America.
I don't know what it means.
Okay.
I have no idea, but I don't know. Apparently, I mean, I don't know.
Is there a Canadian Todd America?
That would be Todd Canada.
Okay.
Is there a Todd Canada? That could be Todd China.
I wonder if he's as shirtless as Todd America. Todd Canada.
Todd Canada.
Freezing.
Chilly.
Yeah.
That'd be nipply. And then the nipples would break off. Yeah, I don't know. But no, I will have to check him out. Let's have him on the show. You think we can get him on the show?
I'd rather not, but let's try.
Okay, that sounds even better. You got me in. All right, wondering. Count me in, as they say. Well, I've had a good time today. You had a good time?
I had a wonderful time.
Oh, I always have a good time. The other thing that would have been better is if I had a full belly from the Cardinal Luncheon that I wanted to go to, but wasn't. Well, I was actually uninvited. I was never even invited. I was just told, no, you're a Neanderthal and you can't go. That kind of hurt.
The Cardinal's Luncheon was an all-inclusive, but you don't really know how all-inclusive it's going to be.
Yeah.
Because you walk in and they say, open bar. And then you go up and you say, can I have a beer?
Yeah.
And then they hand it to you. And then you say, do I have to give you money? And they say, no.
Really?
And then you run away like you got away with something. And then you eat up all the food and then your dirty plates are on the table.
Yeah.
And you're about to go throw them away. And then somebody comes by in uniform and says, can I take that and clear it for you? Like, whoa, this is all-inclusive, all-inclusive.
It's like your cruise.
The one thing that I'd have to complain about is the actual club itself at Busch Stadium, the 703 Club, does not have a bathroom inside the club. So you have to leave the club to go use the regular stalls with the loser people.
The loser
But to
people.
Make sure that you're actually able to get back into the club, they put a yellow wristband around you just so they know that's a pee-pee. And when you come back, you came back from the pee-pee, and that's a pee-pee band.
I always like, I do that, you know, just regardless of where I go. Mm-hmm. It just keeps me, you know, more in check with things. Yeah. Well, you know, what I would have done is, did they have hot dogs there?
Hot dogs, brat dogs, all the dogs.
Okay, well, the hot dogs at the ballpark, I think they cost about $89 now. Mm-hmm. I would have had about 40 or 50 hot dogs just to say, go, and then go home and say, wow, I ate $10,000 worth of food today.
I looked up the prices so I can tell people I had $200 seats the other day. And then, you know, I didn't even watch the game. I was just so busy eating the food.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Huh. Well, that's something.
Sorry you didn't make it.
I was going to say, sorry I couldn't go. I could have gone, but I was told I couldn't go. But I get that a lot. Well, I've had a good time today, and I'm glad that Mitch has had a good time. He's back there. What's he? He's doing snow angels again in the carpet that we don't have. What is he doing? Oh, that's maple syrup. Well, we'll find out next time. In the meantime, I'm Todd Showalter, along with my buddy Joey B. You've been listening to The Right Mind Show. And like I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Till next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to StudioTodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, and always streaming online at NewsTalkSTL.com.